know, the healthcare industry is important really all over the country, but especially here. I don't know that I realized how important it is to the region until I saw a study that came out the other day from the Dallas-Fort Worth Hospital Council. Evidently, it has an economic impact of $47 billion to this region. Author of that was Stephen Love. He's president and CEO of the DFW Hospital Council, who joins us now. It's good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks, David. It's good to be here.
And good to hear your voice again. So that's serious money. The cumulative effect of that has got to be enormous.
It really is. And, you know, David, we conducted this study also about 2 years ago, and it's up about $8 billion from where it was then. And I don't think sometimes people realize in the communities they live, hospitals try to give the best health care possible, but they're also economic engines. In many cases, the largest employer or one of the largest in the community.
Yeah, and it's all facets, too. I mean, everything from, you know, drive-ups to community hospitals. But, you know, we had the new CEO of Pegasus Park on the other day talking about all of the medical expertise that's assembled there that's working on sort of the next generation of medicine. And that's a lot of what we're seeing along that Harry Hines corridor.
Oh, absolutely. If you look at what's going along Harry Hines and you look at the new children's hospital that's under construction and capital expenditures, construction, all give back to the community, as you well know, through the ripple effect. And you mentioned Pegasus Park. Absolutely. You have PCCI there. You've got Health Wildcatters there. You've got UT Southwestern there. You've got a lot of different healthcare organizations and some of the what I call organizations that are in their first 6 to 12 months that Health Wildcatters is helping nurture and grow.
Are we a healthcare center now? I mean, you know, Houston, I think by virtue of the cancer research and the very high profile hospitals down there, and even going back to Michael DeBakey, I mean, they sort of had the title for a long time.
Oh, they did. And, you know, even in the Research Triangle in North Carolina, there's a lot of healthcare biotechnology going on. But we're quickly coming up to speed here in the DFW area. And I think Pegasus Park is an integral part of that growth.
You know, it's funny watching your profession. I remember several years ago driving along 380, that highway that connects Denton and McKinney, and there really wasn't much out there at that point in time. But I looked over, and they were building this like 8-story hospital. I said, "This is sort of, if they build it, they will come." I mean, the medical profession seems to be on the leading edge, and I noticed that going up construction up north on the tollway too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you go through Frisco, there's some new hospitals that went up in Frisco. In fact, Baylor Scott & White just opened one. Medical City continues to grow. You mentioned Scottish Rite, which opened an operation in Frisco. You cross over 380, and then you are right at the Cook Children's Hospital that's there. Children's Health has a clinic. You go on up. Also, the Dallas tollway, you have to exit because the tollway stops. Yeah. But then you go up to Salina, and there's a new Methodist hospital. So even with
the medical profession is front running the expansion.
Absolutely, and part of the reason, and people say, well, you're really expanding, David. Our population is expanding. Yeah. We still, in North Texas, are below the average bed days per 1,000. So we're not overbedded at all. We're just trying to keep up with the growth that we're seeing.
You know, it's an enigma to me. I know you'll help me out on this. But, I mean, people are living longer, certainly. But also, there have been so many breakthroughs in medicine and surgery that used to go in for a week, and now they do it, you know, in a day. You do day surgery, and then all the ambulatory surgery. I would think we need less facilities, fewer facilities than we're building.
You know, that's a really good point. And if you look, even we put some statistics in that release we put out. We did over 6 million outpatient encounters and visits, and we did have the inpatient days. But David, part of the phenomena when I talk to the clinicians is we're having more chronic illness. People like me, baby boomers, as we're getting older, we're having more chronic illness, and many times that requires inpatient hospitalization. A lot can be treated as an outpatient, but much of the chronic illness makes inpatient beds necessary.
Well, but this is the function of living longer. I mean, 50 years ago, people our age were already dead.
Absolutely. The life expectancy is longer. So you basically, if you get a chronic illness, you may have it for a much longer period of time and require more hospitalization or at least outpatient treatment.
So let me ask you about what's going on right now. I know these studies take a while and were done some time ago, but last week the employment numbers came out, and if you remember, I don't know if you saw them, but job gains were much, much weaker than anybody thought. And one of the areas that was showing attrition that had negative growth was the healthcare, education and healthcare industry. And that had been a growth industry forever. Is there some recent phenomenon that's going on in healthcare?
You know, there are pockets of the unemployment all in the healthcare where you have attrition. But let me tell you, in many of the clinical areas, and I'm talking about physicians, nurses, other allied health professionals, we still have critical shortages. And as you look to the next generation, and as you look to some of the things you pointed out, people living longer, having more chronic illness, we're going to need those healthcare professionals. Some of that you've seen, I think, is doing some reductions potentially in non-clinical areas, potentially in, you know, anticipation, if you will, of the one big beautiful bill that's going to impact reimbursement.
Oh, is that right? Tell me, what's the likelihood there? What happens with reimbursement? How's that?
Well, you know, if you look at the one big beautiful bill, and a lot of people say, well, Texas did not get hit as hard as it could have. That is a true statement. But still, Medicaid, because of some of the requirements for enrollment, coupled with the going away of disproportionate share reimbursement, which, just so you know, next year would be $778 million, is not going to come to the hospitals. So that's going to be a reduction in reimbursement. Our rural facilities are going to get cutbacks. Even though there was $50 billion put in the one big beautiful bill for rural, that's spread over 5 years. That's only $10 billion for rural hospitals in the entire United States. And the first formula they're going to have is the first 50% is spread equally. That means Connecticut, Maine would get the same thing Texas gets. Oh, yeah. We've got 157 rural hospitals. So that's a long answer. The other thing that we're concerned about, David, are enhanced premium tax credits that help people buy health insurance. 3.4 million people in Texas utilize those tax credits. If they're not renewed by 12/31/2025, they expire. That could put 1.5 million additional Texans in the uninsured roles.
Well, this is not something that we need. In fact, I go back to, you know, there are several studies, but one of the most recent was a CNBC study about the best states to do business. And Texas always has dropped down. For the last several years, we have dropped and dropped and dropped on two areas. One is education, but the other is healthcare. We get marked down constantly because of healthcare in this state.
Yeah, part of the problem, David, is as you look, we have some disparities and inequities in healthcare. For example, there was a study that came out last year, and it cited Texas ranking 49th out of 50 states in women's healthcare. Yeah. And a lot of that deals with maternal mortality, and some of the treatment is done post when you give birth. The other thing that's impacting it is the chronic illness and the number of uninsured that we have. You know, when you're uninsured and you're sick, you're still sick. So you've got to get treatment. And our hospitals through the emergency room is going to, they're going to do the right thing and treat the patient. They may not get compensated. I put in the report, just so you would know, last week in 2024, the hospitals of North Texas gave $6.9 billion in uncompensated care back to the community, and that impacts the margins of those hospitals.
Well, and this goes back to your point about the reimbursement cut. So something that that we need to keep an eye on. But still, a remarkable driver to the economy is the healthcare industry, the Dallas-Fort Worth Hospital Council. President and CEO is Stephen Love. It's good to see you, my friend. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, David, and you have a good evening.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.